My wife is with me, Dania. Pastor was mentioning that she's pregnant and she's struggling with morning sickness. And so we praise the Lord. It's our first child that we're expecting. And so it has been a blessing. I'm going to share a short testimony. I was born in Honduras, in Central America, and the Lord brought me to the States in 2020, right before the pandemic. I lived in California for 5.5 years, and that's where I met my wife in a family camp. And so last year, the Lord took us to IBCS last summer. It was the heat was really, really, I can't even remember that. Yeah, we got there in June 28th. So it was like 110, the summer there, so the weather. So it was hot, but we're thankful to the Lord because we are in a great place. IBCS has been a blessing to us. The Lord started to work in our desire to go to IBCS through a ministry team. The ministry team is very special to us. And in 2024, they went to California. And so the Lord started to put that desire in us to go. And he opened the doors to go there. About my salvation, as they were sharing in Sunday school, the Lord saved me when I was 12 years old. My family was traditionally Catholic in Honduras. But the Lord sent a missionary couple to my place, and then someone invited me to one of the meetings, heard the gospel, the Lord saved me. And since then, the Lord has been working in me and in my family. So actually, my grandmother, my sister are Christians, and we're praying for my mom in Honduras to get saved as well. I've been seeing the Lord working in her heart through health issues. She has been more sensible to listening to the word. And so we praise the Lord for that. And this morning, as we meditate on this topic of prayer, as you notice, we were singing prayers, and we're emphasizing that theme in our presentations in every church. And so we'll be meditating in one prayer in the New Testament. If you can please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. And we're going to pray to ask the Lord for wisdom as we meditate on this prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to be here. Lord, thank you for this nation. You have blessed America greatly, and thank you for taking that blessing to our countries as well. Lord, I don't forget that we're American missionaries who took the gospel to Honduras. And Lord, the gospel came to my place, and I heard the good news that Jesus died for my sins, for the sins of the world. And I praise you for those missionaries, for this nation. I pray, Lord, that you would please continue working in our lives as we are living here, and Lord, that we may be an encouragement to others for them to come to Christ. And Father, as we consider prayer, I ask you for your blessing. Let us be focused, Lord, on your word at this time. Remove every distraction. Please, Father, work in our hearts, and Lord, that we may endeavor to keep the unity you have created among us. That through prayer, Lord, we may continue making the effort to keep that unity in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to read verse 14 until chapter 4, verse 3. And Ephesians 3:14 to 4, verse 3. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, this verse 3 has a commandment for us that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity that Jesus has created among us, as we can read in chapter 2, verse number 11 in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2:11 says, "Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Amen. He had created unity among us. This letter was written to Gentiles that were struggling with their fellow Christian Jews. It's not amazing that the Lord has brought together Gentiles and Jews, Americans and Mexicans, Salvadorians and Hondurans, Colombians and Brazilians, people from every nation of the world, and we are one in Christ. That is the unity that we should endeavor to keep. How should we endeavor? In what way could we love one another in our own strength? Is it possible for us to keep that unity in our own way of thinking? Well, this prayer shows us that we need to pray to keep that unity. As we endeavor, we need to pray that God may give us what we need. And we're going to see what we need through that prayer. You see in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, Paul is going to open his prayer, his request to God. What do we need to keep that unity? Well, he says, "Father, please grant them that they may be strengthened with might through your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith." The first thing we need is strength. And that is not rare for us, right? We know that we need God's strength for everything, but specifically in the unity, we need his strength. And you notice that he is asking for that strength in our inner man, in our heart. We were ministering in camp this week, and one of the ladies was teaching, and she was saying, "What is the heart?" And she was teaching the kids, okay, the heart is what we think, what we love, and what we choose. That lesson this week was really helpful to me. What we think, what we love, what we choose to do. That's our heart. And we need that this God's strength in our hearts, in what we think, in what we love, in what we choose to do. We need his strength. And notice that with that strength, Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Our brother was preaching or teaching this morning about faith, right? We lack faith. And only God can give us the strength to have an immovable faith so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. It is interesting. If you notice verse 17, that Christ may dwell in our hearts, you think, well, I thought Christ came to dwell in my hearts when I received him as my Lord and Savior. And that's true, right? But actually, that word, dwell, in this context, means take possession. Paul is praying for a church, for every individual in the church to give Christ possession of their hearts. It is not true that when we come to Christ, we bring bad habits, bad words, wrong way of thinking. But as we grow in Christ, he's taking possession of every area of our lives. Our brethren were sharing their testimonies, and they were saying, right? I surrender my life to Christ at this age. I was saved at this age, but I surrender my life to Christ at this age. You see, Christ is taking possession of our hearts. And that's Paul's prayer here. Lord, give them a strength that through faith, Christ may dwell richly in their hearts. Someone said it like this, that our hearts may be Christ's heart. To keep unity, we need to give Christ possession of our hearts. And he's praying that. Verse 17, in the middle of the verse, you can see that Paul says, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. It is when Christ takes possession of our hearts that we may be rooted. We are rooted and grounded in his love. You see, Paul is using the picture of a tree that is rooted, right? And he's taking the picture of a building that is grounded. And that those pictures give us an idea how we should be rooted and grounded in Christ's love. John said it in this way, we love because he loved us first. That's how we can love, right? And in order to keep the unity, we need God's strength, Christ's presence, and we need to be rooted and grounded in love. All this, we can request it in prayer. That's why prayer is really important for us. And notice, Paul is taking his argument toward the unity. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Paul wants us to experience, to comprehend Christ's love among the community of Christians. Our brother was teaching this morning, saying we need each other, and that is true. We can't be isolated from one another. And Paul is praying, Lord, give them what they need for them to be united, that they may comprehend and understand Christ's love. Brethren, do you remember when you received Christ? What an emotion, right? To know that Christ came to die for us. Amazing. I remember when I received the Lord. I thought, now I have power to live my life for God. Amazing, his love. And you can see the description of measure. Length, depth, height. It's like the form of a cross. Because his love is immeasurable. But you know what? It is more amazing when you experience the power to love one another. When you can forgive. When you can receive offense, take offense, and you say, Lord, in your strength, I forgive these brethren. When you're patient with one another, it's not amazing that before we get angry really quick, really fast, but now with God's power, we can say, I choose to forgive. I choose to love. That's what Paul is praying here, that we may experience that love of Christ among one another, among the community of Christians. And so the last request that he is saying, all of this, Lord, strength, Christ's presence, that they may comprehend his love with all the saints, is with one purpose. Look at verse 19. The middle of the verse, he says, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does he mean by that? What is to be filled with all the fullness of God? Well, you have seen the Father here. You have seen Jesus, right? You have seen the Holy Spirit working together, right? The Father is the one who is granting this petition. If you see verse 14, he's saying, I pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that he would grant you. And then the Spirit giving strength. And then Jesus dwelling in the hearts of believers. And he's saying that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's saying that you may be like God, united, perfectly united, three persons that is one God. Amazing. That's the purpose of this prayer, that we may be filled, we may grow toward the fullness of God, that we may be more like God, like Christ. There are one, two persons, three persons are one. We need to grow. We need to be filled with all the fullness of God. And so we need to pray. And my brethren, notice, this is a huge petition, right? Without Christ, we are like the world. How is the world right now? There are wars going on, right? Even in America, in each country of the world, there are wars. Politicians are fighting each other. That would be us without Christ. Can God fulfill that prayer? Can God grant this prayer for us to be filled with all the fullness of God? What do you think? What do you believe? Can God do this? I expected an amen. Can God do this?
Amen.
Amen. God can do it. And that's why Paul is saying in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory. Amen. He is able, notice, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I think God can answer this prayer. He can do more than that. He can give us a community that is united, a forgiving community of Christians. He can give us a community that care for one another, that encourage one another. He can do it. And for that, he deserves the glory. My question for us this morning is, are we struggling to love one another? Are we struggling to forgive? Are we struggling to bear with one another in love? Are we struggling to have long suffering? Do we get angry quickly with one another? Well, we need to pray. We need to ask the Lord for strength, for Christ's presence, for us to be rooted and grounded in love. We need to ask the Lord that we may be filled with all his fullness. As he is united, perfectly united, we need to pray. And I want to take this last moment to ask you, Think about those brethren that you are struggling to love. And let's pray together this prayer at this moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because in your word we find everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, we pray with Paul this prayer. We need your strength, Lord. Please grant us your strength in the inner man, Lord, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we may be rooted and grounded in love, Lord, and we may be able to understand and comprehend Christ's love with all the saints. Father, that we may be a community of Christians that experience that love. Lord, that we may be filled with all the fullness of you. Father, we know that you can grant this petition for us to be a united church because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. And for that, Lord, we give you the glory. In Christ's name, amen.